All right, welcome back. Thanks for coming. There's homework, too. We're going to give you homework. All right, there's the seat for the great unknown attendee. Invisible. It's a mystic power. Okay, lesson 10. You are Srila Prabhupada. Before we look at some ways to access and nourish our personal relationship with our founder Acharya, let's consider how Srila Prabhupada is for everyone. We're trying to expand our vision of Srila Prabhupada as a Jagat Guru. Okay, so I always choose a slide to start a lesson for a reason. So the reason I chose this slide is because I find Prabhupada's expression here and gesture particularly charming, endearing, we say in English. Does anybody have a favorite picture of Prabhupada? It's probably hard to pin it down to one, right? You probably have many, depending on your mood or the climate. Right now it looks like a storm, so you might have a favorite for storms, favorite for blue skies. Do you have a favorite picture of Srila Prabhupada? You do? You do? Okay. The Swami hat. Big smile. Okay, that narrows it down to about 100 pictures. There's many pictures like that. Morning walk. Is there a beach near the morning walk?
I believe so.
Yeah, okay. That's probably Venice Beach. There's many Venice. It's Los Angeles. Okay. Anyone else? How about you, Prabhu? You have a favorite Prabhupada picture? There you go. Wait a minute.
My favorite is. My favorite is the one from Germany.
Germany.
He's laughing with devotees.
He's laughing.
Yeah.
We just saw it.
Yeah.
Right.
That one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada's expressions were really... It's like raw soul. You know, it was just so much expression. Okay. Anyone else? How about from the Slovenia gallery? You can say it in Slovenian, and I will say, oh, that's interesting. You have a favorite picture of Prabhupada? Hmm.
Like a mantra, a chanting, concentration.
Oh, he's speaking English. Concentration. Like eyes closed? Eyes open or closed?
Closed.
Yeah. Hmm.
Te slike, ki so na recepciji, so mi zelo všeč, vse po vrsti. Nih večkrat tako opazujem in delam, da se zamislim, kaj vse propada v teh svojih obrazih razmišljanja.
That's interesting. What did he say?
So he said that we have a calendar with the Prabhupada on every month, and he said he liked every picture on that calendar because it shows different Prabhupada in different
moods. Different moods.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, we have another one. And we're all going to know which one she means. Because you're going to describe it so specifically that we can't miss.
I the most like those picture when Krishna goes with Jaladuta and Krishna takes care, like healing him head. I like this so much.
The painting.
The painting, yeah.
Yeah, of Krishna putting his hand on Prabhupada's heart or something like
yes.
that. Yeah, it's
In
really...
Heart.
Whew. Very good, huh? Yeah. I can't wait to see the new Acharya movie that's being made by Yadavar Prabhu. No, he wanted to finish it last year, but Krishna keeps sending more stuff and more ideas, and I keep saying, that's great, Yadavar, don't worry about deadlines, just make it so the whole world will want to see it, because that's what he's making it for the world, not just devotees. And he's got contacts to put it in film festivals and, theaters online, and, it's Krishna's helping him, really. Because most people don't know about Prabhupada. They've heard of Krishna, some of them, but Prabhupada less. So that's our job, is to share Prabhupada with everyone, because Srila Prabhupada is for everyone. Yep, universal teacher. There's an early New York picture you can see. Did you ever notice, if you've heard Prabhupada's recordings, Prabhupada had a stroke in 1967. And his voice on the 66 tapes and early 67, his voice is higher. After his heart attack and stroke, it seemed to drop a little bit. If you become a student of Prabhupada's recordings, you can hear that. Also in 66, Prabhupada was like, please understand, nobody knew Krishna. So he's like trying to educate people about Krishna. So there's a certain desperate urgency in his voice. Yeah. Okay, so universal teacher. In Prabhupada's 1935 public Vyasa Puja homage for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, which Prabhupada gave at the Bombay Gaudiya Math, Prabhupada declared in his speech, quote, "The Acharya Dev to whom we have assembled tonight to offer our humble homage is not the guru of a sectarian institution or one out of many differing exponents of the truth. On the contrary, he is the Jagat Guru, the Guru of all of us. The only difference is that some obey him wholeheartedly while others do not obey him directly." So Prabhupada is saying, in effect, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was of that category too. He was a Jagat Guru. So 36 years later, in 1971, Prabhupada was at a Rath Yatra, and a reporter asked Prabhupada this. Want to read? Here you go. Read.
"In June 1971, when Srila Prabhupada attended the San Francisco Rath Yatra, a reporter asked him how many disciples he had."
All right. Reporter wanted to know, how many disciples do you have? Are you going to read more? And here's what Prabhupada said. And it's kind of like what he said 36 years earlier about his own Guru Maharaj.
"Unlimited," Prabhupada said. "Some admit and some don't admit. Admit you are a servant of Lord Krishna and your life will be a success."
Now you have to be very pure to say something like that. Right? He has unlimited disciples. But he could say that because Krishna had revealed to him he was the ambassador to go all over the world to spread Krishna consciousness. Okay, so he's a universal teacher. He's not simply for a few people, even in ISKCON. He's for everybody. But anyway, we'll get to that part. Okay, a universal teacher. Global preacher. All right, here's how. This is Prabhupada deplaning in Geneva, June 1974. You notice how Prabhupada is deplaning there? He's deplaning out of the belly of the plane. They don't do that anymore, I don't think. I think for security reasons, for some reason, they don't make planes like that anymore. Okay, so where's the mic? All right. It's always the dilemma, right? Okay, let's get some more readers here. Why don't you come closer? You're a good reader. Here we go.
In 12 years, Srila Prabhupada circled the globe 14 times and established the Krishna conscious movement on every major continent.
I put major in there because, to the best of my knowledge, Srila Prabhupada did not go to the polar continents. Why? Because there were more penguins than people. Yeah, yes. There's even a... All right, I'm going to test. All right. Penguin. Beatles. Where's the word penguin in a Beatles song? Penguin. And Hare Krishna is in the same line as penguin. You don't know this? I was testing his Beetle bhaktiness. Elementary penguins singing Hare Krishna. Man, you should have seen them kicking Edgar Allan Poe. Da, 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 da. Wow. Okay, your homework is to find out. I am the walrus. Yeah. So we can't, well, this is good, because we can't be elementary penguins. Sometimes we get very dogmatic in our preaching. We can't be like that. We have to deepen our Krishna consciousness so we can be like Prabhupada. He could relate to anybody. He can relate Krishna to anybody. But in the neophyte stage, we tend to be elementary penguins. You know, penguins look like they have tuxedos on with their bodies. There's a white in the... And they kind of walk constricted, you know. Anyway, it's natural we're like that in the beginning, but we have to become natural devotees, not elementary penguins. Okay, 14 times. As I said, you will get jet lag just reading Prabhupada's itinerary. I guarantee. It's exhausting just to read it. Now, Prabhupada himself was aware of that, that his itinerary was rather radical. So, in one letter to a devotee, this devotee had invited Prabhupada to San Francisco Rath Yatra in this year. This is Prabhupada in Geneva in June. And so, in May, Prabhupada wrote, quote, "Regarding your invitation that I attend the Rath Yatra festival in San Francisco on July 7th, it is possible that I may attend, depending on when I finish my European tour, which I'm doing." So I'm getting a little taste of, you know, Prabhupada's pace. "I am due to arrive in Rome on May 23rd, then after a week, Geneva, then Paris, and possibly Stockholm, Germany, and England." Oh, it gets better. Listen to this. "If there is time, I can fly directly from Europe to Los Angeles." That's a long flight. I did that once. I mean, I did it not even to the continent. I did it from Los Angeles to London. 14 hours. Oh, nonstop on People Airlines. One of these, you know, little... Where the seats are like... And your knees bump up against the front seats. Oh, it was horrible. People Airlines. So that's at least a 14-hour flight. If there is time, I can fly directly from Europe to Los Angeles and go to the festival. Now, the festival is in San Francisco. Still, from L.A., you've got to go up another few hours to San Francisco. Then, as you suggest, go to Australia. Australia Rath Yatra via Hawaii. Yeah, Hawaii is about halfway to Australia. And then Prabhupada says, "This is known as Jet Age Paribrajakacharya." Now, Prabhupada didn't make that up. You know who made it up? Some Indian newspaper man, noticed Prabhupada's itinerary, and he said, "This is a Jet Age Swami." And Prabhupada heard about it and he liked it. So Prabhupada just said, Jedej Paribrajagacharya. That means an acharya who's going around and around and around. Like parikram, like that. Still, even though Prabhupada was doing such amazing traveling and preaching, there's always critics, right? There's always somebody who's going to criticize you no matter what you do. We have a t-shirt in America that says, avoid criticism, do nothing. And then, of course, if you do nothing, you'll be criticized too for not doing anything, right? You can't win. It's the way it is. So a devotee said to Prabhupada once, Prabhupada, they said that if Lord Chaitanya wanted Krishna consciousness in the Western countries, why didn't he go there himself? This is what some Swami said. If he really wanted Krishna consciousness everywhere, why didn't he go there himself? So Prabhupada says, so he left the credit for me. He loves his devotee more than himself. Just see. Yeah. I think there's more here. Yeah.
He also initiated thousands of followers and continues to inspire countless more to surrender to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah, that's why we have to make people aware of Prabhupada so that they can be inspired, you know, by his teachings and his example. Yeah. And he continues to inspire. Just read his life story. It's so inspiring. There was once, what was it? It was either CNN or some magazine. They once did a story on people who had succeeded after the age of 60 or something. You ever hear this? And Prabhupada was he was in the top 10. He was A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami at the age of nearly 70, he went to the West, and you know, and all of a sudden he opened up 108 temples and thousands of disciples and so many books he wrote. And yeah, interesting. It's good. Okay, so Prabhupada, he's a universal teacher, global preacher, and matchless giver. All right, let's see what that's all about. All right. Yep. Want to read? Hey, we got a taker here. You want to read?
Srila Prabhupada founded over 100 Hare Krishna temples, schools, farms, and restaurants, all while writing, publishing dozens of translations and commentaries on foundational Vaishnava scriptures.
Did you ever try to write even one book? How about, you know, dozens of books while you're exploding a movement all over the world? I mean, writing is a very demanding task. You got to really be concentrated, focused. Prabhupada was doing that while he was traveling all over the world exploding a worldwide movement, and there were so many problems. And Prabhupada was always begging us, especially the GBC, of course, to take over the management. But we were too neophyte. We couldn't do it. And Prabhupada would say, if I have to think of management when I got up, you know, in the middle of the night to translate, then I can't focus. I have to, you know, if I'm thinking of what's going on in Bombay or South America or Africa, I can't concentrate. So please relieve me of this. Because Prabhupada said, every word that I speak has to be documented. It has to be accurate. It has to be, you know, inspiring. It's got to be realized. So, but yeah, he could never do that. So it's actually superhuman what he did. I mean, just to do what he did in terms of management, to make a movement all over the world, or just alone if he wrote all those books, but to do both. You can't even imagine it. So, and when did he write? When did he write? In the middle of the night, right? Why did he write in the middle of the night? Finally it was quiet. Finally we weren't pestering him. Brahma! When we were crashed, Prabhupada was dictating. Because, as I might have mentioned, his days and nights, they kind of blended. He didn't really go to sleep for a lot. He just napped. You know, he just took naps. He took a couple hours, like Hari Shari said. So Prabhupada, he would go to bed at 10. You know, I'd massage him to sleep. And then he'd wake up between 12 and 1. And he'd write all night. And then, you know, he would nap a little after breakfast. And then he would take a little longer nap after lunch. But it wasn't like there was a clear separation between days. It was like he was the days and nights just sort of blended, as did the places and the faces. And you know, he was just always moving. But he was like the calm in the middle of the storm. He was just with Krishna. Yeah. So, matchless giver. While pioneering Krishna consciousness on many fronts over 12 years, I mean, it wasn't just temples, look at this. Restaurants, farms, schools. Yeah, different kinds of projects. How did Srila Prabhupada find the time to write so many books? He didn't sleep much, which he felt to be a waste of time. Prabhupada actually didn't like to go to sleep. Can you imagine? I can't imagine that. He would say, now I'm going to waste my time. Yeah. It was like the Goswamis, you know. He just minimizes. He was more excited being awake, serving Krishna. Now another short sleeper is the cow, to whom Srila Prabhupada would sometimes compare himself. Did you ever live around cows? They don't sleep much. Yeah, that's one of the ways they're tinged by goodness. I think I mentioned this, how they sit head to tail, they tail whisk the flies away from each other's eyes, and they're massaging each other and licking each other. You know, they're really, you learn a lot from cows. We even have this English word ruminate. It means to think over, but it comes from cows. They're rumen, they chew their cud, they chew their rumen as their four compartmental stomachs turn grass into milk. It's, yeah, they're mystical cows. Okay, so Prabhupada would compare himself to a cow. In his memories of Srila Prabhupada, Gurudas reports that once in Bombay, he told Srila Prabhupada he was concerned that not enough people would show up for an engagement the devotees had arranged. Prabhupada replied, "No, I'm like a cow. I am like a cow. I give milk anywhere. If a few people come or a lot of people, I give milk anywhere. This is what I like to do." And then once another similar incident, temple called up the temple where Prabhupada was. And they said, "Would you ask Srila Prabhupada, is he going to take prasadam before he leaves or when he comes to where we are?" So they asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "Oh, I can eat in that this pasture, and then I can eat in that pasture. I'm like a cow." And then he gives. He doesn't just eat. You know, wherever he goes, he just speaks unlimited Krishna Katha tirelessly, day and night. Okay, so matchless givers, like cows. Yeah, they mother us with their milk. So Prabhupada mothered us, fathered us with the milk. There's even a Shankara meditation on the Bhagavad Gita with cow in it. You know this one? Sarva Upanishado. It's right in the introduction to the Gita. It's Gita Mahatmya, right? Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogda Gopala Nandana Partho Vatsak Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat. This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who was famous as a cowherd boy, is milking this cow. The milk is the essence of the Vedas, and Arjuna is just like a calf. And wise men, great sages, and pure devotees are to drink the nectary and milk of Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so how about, where's Prabhupada there, do you know? He's in America. You got the right country? How about the coast? Which coast is he on? Yes. You got the right coast. All right. No, Dallas is not the west coast. That's Texas. Yes. New Dwarka. You've been there? No? It's a red velvet throne. It's really nice. So usually when you see Prabhupada on this Vyasasana, he's looking straight at you with a gong, but here he's looking up. This is the only one where I know where he's looking up. Looks like he's looking right at Krishna to me. Yeah. Blissed. Okay. So, Prabhupada's for everyone as a Shakti Avesh Avatar. So, we're going to hear a purport now from Srila Prabhupada, a little excerpt. Who would like to read an excerpt? Want to read, Manaji? Yeah.
Unless one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one cannot spread the holy names of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra throughout the world. Persons who do so are empowered. Therefore, they are sometimes called Avesha Avataras or empowered incarnations, for they are endowed with the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yes, Srila Prabhupada is describing the symptoms of a Shaktivesha Avatar, and although he doesn't say, I'm the one, he's describing, he fits the description, right? Empowered. Kali kalera dharma krishna nam sankirtan krishna shakti vina nahi ta pravartan. And thus one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One cannot spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Kali kalera dharma krishna nam sankirtan. So, when Prabhupada's godbrother, His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj, paid his last visit to Prabhupada in Mayapur in 76, Sridhar Maharaj was reminiscing about when the Gaudiya Math preachers went to Europe in the 1930s to try to introduce Krishna consciousness. They went to England and Germany. One of them met Hitler. Do you know that? Yeah. Sban Maharaj met Hitler. And he was preaching to Hitler about what a true Aryan was. You know, Hitler was into this Aryan race, the master race. Bon. Swami Bon. Swami Hridai Bon Maharaj. So Hitler was listening. And then a few hours later, while the Swami was still there in Hitler's compound, one of Hitler's lieutenants came up to him and said, "We do not need your lofty ideas." You know, they had their own idea of what Aryan meant, right? It was something physical, something bodily concept. But Bon was trying to tell him, "No, the true Aryan knows the progressive values of life." Anarya drishtam asvargyam, Krishna said to Arjuna, You're speaking like a non-Aryan. You don't know the progressive values of life, spiritual values. The self is spirit, not matter. So anyway, they were in Europe, and you know, they were trying to introduce Krishna consciousness. So there's a famous incident Prabhupada told of how a godbrother of his, Bhakti Saranga Maharaj, was approached by one Marquis of Zetland. That's the way Prabhupada said it, in the Shetland Islands off the coast of Scotland. Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? Oh, very simple. Just avoid intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, and gambling. And what did he say?
Impossible.
So this is what that, and Prabhupada himself, that may have been the incident of, you know, where it sparked Prabhupada's thinking that if I, when I go to America, when I mention the four rules, they will say, Swamiji, please go home. Maybe he was remembering this response, you know, from this marquee. So when the Gaudiya Math preachers came back to India without much success, Sridhar Maharaj said, we were thinking, what is this every town and village prophecy, you know? Prithivityachayata Nagaradi Gram. And as many towns and villages as there are in the surface of the earth, Lord Chaitanya says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, my holy name will be sung and preached. So we thought, how can this literally be true? These people are animals, these Westerners, these Videshis, these foreigners. They're not prepared even to follow, you know, some basic prelim. This is just human life. You know, these are the things that promote cleanliness, truthfulness, kindness, self-control. They're not prepared to even follow that. So how could it literally... We were thinking that this must be some poetic expression, some hyperbole, some exaggeration, you know. But then Prabhupada, then Sridhar Maharaj said, but Swami Maharaj, you've done it. You've done this. You know. So he, and then he cited this verse, Kali Kalera Dharma, you must be empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shakti Avesh. Yeah, but Prabhupada, you know, he would just describe things and he wouldn't say he was the one, right? That's not our fault. He would just let you study and then see who was had those qualifications, and he did. So we have to know by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, not by people advertising, I am the avatar, I am the incarnation. As so many did and still do. Now, if Srila Prabhupada is for everyone, he is certainly for everyone in his own Sangha, ISKCON. That's the whole point of this. You know, Prabhupada's for everyone. As we will now read. All right. So let's look at all the components in that 1994 Founder Acharya statement that we saw in the last lesson. We just read the first part. But let's look at all the parts that the GBC passed 22 years ago. Who would like to read that? You want to read? Yeah. Oh, okay, that's right. All right, Prabhu, we'll see if it reaches...
GBC Resolution 35, the founder Acharya statements.
All right.
Srila Prabhupada is the foundational. Srila Prabhupada is the foundational Shiksha Guru for the all ISKCON devotees.
Right, and I just give enough to get the gist. I think the whole statement was there in the last lesson, because he has presented the teachings of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya just appropriately for the modern age. Yeah. Okay, B.
Srila Prabhupada's instructions are the essential teaching for the every ISKCON devotee.
Yeah, essential teachings. Now, every generation is supposed to produce literature and media, you know, spoken, written word. And one of Prabhupada's criticisms of his godbrothers was that they weren't producing any more books. You know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's books are the main course in the meal, so to speak. It's the main. But every generation should produce books because the times change and everybody needs to be reached in, Prabhupada said, novel ways, creative ways. So the Founder Acharya's teachings are the main. And then if the other teachings are worthwhile, then they'll inspire people to go back to the source to read Prabhupada's teachings. Okay, so C...
Srila Prabhupada's books are the embodiment of his teaching and should be accepted as the standard for all future generations of ISKCON.
Yes, same point.
Srila Prabhupada should be worshipped daily by every ISKCON member.
Mm-hmm. Daily Guru Puja for the Founder Acharya.
Every spiritual master is responsible to guide his disciples to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions.
Right, that's the basis. I think that's all. Yeah. Now, if that resolution had been followed really well, there would be no need for this seminar. But several resolutions were passed, and I mean, now they're finally getting published and circulated, and they're being, you know, people are being educated about them. Resolutions that are especially, you know, major ones. But it wasn't like that. You know, resolutions were passed very well, very nice, and put it in the drawer or on the hard drive, and who knows about it, right? So, yeah. But we need this seminar because we're still understanding the depth of Prabhupada's position. Okay, so how about another one? Okay, so the next slide, I made a collage just to remind us of just some of the aspects of Srila Prabhupada. I call Prabhupada a transcendental Renaissance man. So when you think of the Renaissance,
confirmed.
When you think of the Renaissance in Europe, who do they always point to as being the Renaissance man in Europe?
Leonardo da Vinci.
Da Vinci, right? Why? Why do they say he's a Renaissance man? Yeah. Yeah, he was. He had a very broad intelligence. He gave us everything from the Mona Lisa to the blueprints to the helicopter, right? It's not often that you find the fine artist and the scientist in the same body. But, yeah. So, what to speak of Srila Prabhupada? He was expert in so many areas. And he talked about so many areas that he wanted Krishna consciousness in. So here is Prabhupada visiting the Mississippi farm. It's called New Talavan. In Krishna Leela, what did Krishna do in Talavan Forest? Famously, he... Yes, Dhenukasur, which we heard about in rich detail from Dinabandhu Prabhu, right? All these... Kaneha and Dao. I learned all these names from him, Krishna. Dinabandhu Prabhu is not only on a first name basis with Krishna, he's on a nickname basis, you know. Amazing person. Okay, so there's Prabhupada at the Mississippi. He's the Varnashram plain living pioneer, right? In ISKCON. And there's Prabhupada, the world Sankirtan party leader. Prabhupada used to talk about the world. He wanted a world Sankirtan party. He wanted to personally do it, but then as the movement mushroomed, you know, he just left it to his disciples to go all over, to go on every street corner and in the major cities. So raise your hand if you know Prabhupada. Where is Prabhupada there? We have a taker here. Come here. Mike. Reel it in.
Tompkins Square Park.
You got the last word is correct. Park. Park is right. Very good. Golden Gate. It's a special part of Golden Gate Park, too. Hippie Hill. 1967, when hundreds of thousands, can you imagine? It was tens of thousands anyway. I think there was 100,000 descended on San Francisco. They all went to the park, right? So Prabhupada wasn't afraid to go there and mix amongst the hippies. He just sat down and chanted Hare Krishna. There's one movie of Prabhupada doing this. Have you seen the movie? He's like the calm, again, he's like the calm in the middle of the storm. He's got it in his robes. He's chanting, and it looks like a conductor in an orchestra doing the Swami step. And then there's these rings of young people around him. One ring is going one way. They're holding hands and they're going around in circles, boys and girls, and they're jumping like horses. And then there's an outer ring and they're going the other way. And they all look like they're flying on something, you know. You know. And Prabhupada just... So, Prabhupada, the World Sankirtan Party leader, And there's Prabhupada. He's on the west coast. But there's the Pacific Ocean in the background. And I think you know this person. Yes. There's an early edition, early incarnation of Malati. I chose this because Malati is looking very lovingly at Srila Prabhupada. Because, as we mentioned in the last class, Prabhupada, he could relate to anybody and he knew how to engage everybody. I mean, Malati, if you know her, she's a very capable, you know, modern woman. And so Prabhupada could engage that. He could engage traditional ladies, modern ladies, you know. So there's Malati with Prabhupada. And Malati said, sometimes we'd have big kirtans by the Pacific in the early days in San Francisco. And we'd roast marshmallows and potatoes. And then they found out there's gelatin and marshmallows, so they stopped that. But they roast to roast potatoes, you know, have big kirtans, big bonfire, you know, wood. And Prabhupada would be chanting with them. And then they'd bow down after the kirtan. And Prabhupada would say, all glories to the Pacific Ocean. And they thought it was so cool that Prabhupada was honoring their ocean, you know, that borders California. Yeah. Okay, so here's Prabhupada. This is Prabhupada outside at New Talavan Farm. Here he is inside teaching how to cook. And of course, Prabhupada's cooking was legendary. Prabhupada told us in Miami, I mean, he said this many times, you have all come because of prasadam. Yeah, he would just say. And we were like, yeah, that's right. And when Prabhupada said that, he was in Miami February 75 when I went on that morning walk, but in two nights he gave Bhagavad Gita class under a banyan tree. It was called New Naimisharanya Forest, the temple. It was a little kind of rural plot, you know. I mean, it was in the city, but it was a nice big green property. And then we had spotlights on Prabhupada. He was sitting under a banyan tree and we all felt like the sages at Naimisharanya, right? And so after one talk, he's just relaxing and he's talking. And he tells us, you have all come because of prasad. And then Prabhupada looks at the temple president who's standing next to him. He's fanning him. His name is Abhiram Prabhu, who happened to be Prabhupada's nurse in Prabhupada's last days. So Abhiram is a very grave person. You don't know what he's thinking. We say in America, he holds his cards close to his chest. You don't know, you know, he's very grave. He's a cool cat. I mean, he's a cool customer, right? He doesn't easily reveal his mind. So Prabhupada said, you have all come because of prasad. And then he looked at Abhiram. You too, Abhiram? And I'd never seen Abhiram do this. He just went right out of character. Instead of being grave, he said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, me too. He became very sheepish, you know, kind of, me too, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada went. And Prabhupada said, jai, jai. And his head just wheeled over the devotees, jai, you know, and we went, jai. Because we knew it was true. It's why we join, it's why we stay, you know. Confirm. So I mean, so many stories, right? Yeah, I went to a Sunday feast, and then I went back the next day just to look for some more food. Because I was in Canada. I had run away from America. All right. This is a personality here, I know it. When I joined, I mean, when I first started going to the temple in Toronto, Canada, I had run away from America. I didn't want to go to fight in Vietnam. So after that Sunday feast, that first feast, then I went back the next day looking for more food, you know. Because we were starving. We couldn't get work in Canada. So Brahmananda said, I went to my first feast at Mukunda's, after Mukunda's wedding to Janaki. And after I tasted that first kachori, I was finished. I had to join, you know. Kachori was his shiksha guru, right? So, Nirvana Pradarshika, okay. Now, Prabhupada, he was already coming, but Kachori was encouraging him, right? Okay. So, and that's why I say, when you met Jamuna, that you were accessing Prabhupada the cook. You know, the fine cuisinier, or the fine master chef. So, there's Prabhupada. This is one still frame in a movie called Brilliant as the Sun. It was made by Yadavar Prabhu. It was just a 20-minute documentary on how Prabhupada, how the books are produced by the BBT. This was made in the 70s, a long time ago. And Prabhupada agreed to let himself be filmed by Yadavar in the middle of the night. And he's got the book for all the... He had this book. It had 12 previous acharyas. And he had another book, I think. It was just Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Bhaktivinoda's commentaries. And then he would weave his own, you know, unprecedented realizations from spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world in to the purports. After consulting what the previous acharyas had said, then he sort of makes it relevant and appropriate, you know, for this age. So, yeah, it starts with Prabhupada's dictations, and there's a whole editorial process. Then it showed the books actually being printed and then distributed, and then they staged a Sankirtan, you know, encounter with somebody with a book, and then coming to the temple and gradually becoming a devotee, and then going out and distributing books. You know, it's like a cycle. Okay, so there, anybody connected with the books, and who isn't, you know, reading Prabhupada's books, distributing, like I teach based on the books, write based on the books, you know, writing articles. And so Prabhupada's the inspiration for that, his vani. So, and there's Prabhupada, the mantra upasaka, the worshipper of the holy name. Where's Prabhupada there, do you know? You've probably been there, some of you. The manor. Bhaktivedanta Manor. 1973, Prabhupada's installing Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. And in those days, there was no Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. So you could, after Prabhupada installed them, then and had this great kirtan. You see, if you see in the movie, Prabhupada starts jumping in the movie. And then he led them all around. You could walk around Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, parikram, you know, circumambulate them. So, yeah. The great worshipper of the holy name, the great installer of deities. What were the first deities installed? Where? No? They weren't the first, but that was his favorite. He'd say, Krishna comes in the deity form, but in London, he has come, what did Prabhupada say? He's personally come, something like that. He manifests more in this deity, I don't know. It was Prabhupada's favorite deities. And they look, I don't know if you've noticed this, but when you go, if you ever travel, you see how Krishna manifests in different contexts and cities. Like if you go to Paris, it's like you see Paris Ishwar Radha and Paris Ishwar look like the ultimate Parisians, you know, Parisian couple. Or in LA, you know, Rukmini Dwarkadesh, they look like the ultimate movie stars, you know. Or in Mexico City, they look like Senora and Senorita, you know. It's the way they dress them, you know. Krishna manifesting as the supreme in every context. So in, if you've seen Radhanandanishwar in Soho now, I was lucky, I got to see him in Sevenbury Place where they installed just before they moved. They looked like the daintiest lord and lady, you know, the most refined lord and lady. Don't they? They're very sweet, impeccable. Yeah. Okay, so that's just some of the sides of Prabhupada we can connect with, depending on our nature. Now, what we're going to see in the next is an audio. So it's turned up. And we're just going to remind us ourselves of a couple of basic ways that we can all connect with Srila Prabhupada. Is that better? All right, I can see. So, good. The audio is from 1968, August. Prabhupada was in Montreal a lot of weeks. I think he was having visa problems, yeah, in America, so he had to stay in Canada for a while. This is where I'm headed next, Montreal. And they're having a big festival commemorating Prabhupada's time in Montreal, especially this visit, because he gave his householder couples who were on their way to open London special mercy, special instructions of how to open London. So Prabhupada was there for many weeks while the visa situation was sorted out in America. And on August 15th, he had initiations. And then on August 18th, one of the initiates, who was a young girl, Wendy, and she became Rukmini, the Prabhupada's, and she's great Vaishnavi. You might know Anutama, that's his wife, Rukmini. Anutama, the international communications minister. So his wife is Rukmini Devi. And maybe you've heard of the band As Kindred Spirits. You heard of this? Gauravani and company. Well, Gauravani is her son. And she owns the band. It's her band. Anyway, she was just a 16-year-old girl, you know, 1968. And she'd just been initiated. And then 3 days later, Prabhupada gave a Bhagavatam class, and then Prabhupada asked for questions. And Rukmini said, when you're not here, I feel so far away from you. I feel so like, it sounded like a very lonely voice, lonely, far away. So Prabhupada, he takes the opportunity of her remark to introduce the concept of Vani and Vapu. But he doesn't say Vani and Vapu. He's just spoon-feeding us, you know, with English words. So he says, physical and vibration. So when Rukmini makes her remark, Prabhupada almost sounds surprised. And he wants to correct her. He's trying to impress upon her, there's no need to feel lonely. Because he himself was always feeling his Guru Maharaj's presence. And he wanted her and everyone also to understand how to feel close to him through vibration, he said. So let's hear. Here's the audio. Here we go.
That you should not think. There are two conception, the physical conception and the vibration conception. The physical conception is temporary. The vibration conception is eternal. Just like we are enjoying or we are relishing the vibration of Krishna's teachings. So my vibration is present. As soon as we chant Hare Krishna or chant Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad, so he is present immediately by his vibration. So he should be more stressed on the sound vibration, either of Krishna or of the spiritual master, then he will have a more separation.
So I really like that analogy, because Krishna appeared on earth last, as he is, Svayam Krishna, Rajendra Nandan, the flute-playing Krishna. Only once in a day of Brahma does he come like that, but he just came 5,130 something years ago. But as soon as we open up Gita, there is Krishna. Dehi nosminyata dehe. You know? Manmana bhavamad bhakto. By vibration, he is present. So Prabhupada is making that analogy to the guru too. You simply have to remember his vibration and then you'll feel happy and no separation. So that requires real attentive listening. Otherwise, you remember those levels of listening I introduced? Ignoring, pretending, selective, then finally you get to attentive. And then the highest level is empathic, when you can actually feel what the other person's saying. That's what good counselors do that. But at least we have to be attentive. And if we're attentive and let the words go deep. Did you ever notice when you read Bhagavad Gita, when you're in the right mood, wow, you just take in every word. But then if you're not in the right mood, if you're not in a mood of submissive oral reception, it just bounces off, right? You just don't get it. So it's all about the mood. That's what attracts Krishna. The mood we chant his names, the mood we hear, the mood we take prasad. It's all about rasa. That's another sense. Rasa, it means taste, it means mood, it means relationship. It's hard to translate it into English. Yeah. So Prabhupada's encouraging Rukmini and all of us to remember smarnam, the vibration. Be in contact with the vibration. Then you'll feel happy, Prabhupada said, and no separation. Now, so that's a very fundamental way to be in touch with Prabhupada. Hearing, repeating, remembering, like that. Here's another way that's really, I don't know if it's unique to Prabhupada's ISKCON Sangha, but it's very characteristic of ISKCON. ISKCON, if you haven't noticed, is very mission-oriented. You know, like human life is a mission, ISKCON's a mission. The mission is to wake up, grow up, go back to Godhead and bring as many with us as we can. That's the mission of ISKCON. And Krishna, Jai, and Krishna is like that too in the Bhagavad Gita. What does he say? There's no servant in this world more dear to me than who? Yes. If we've heard the Gita, we'll be able to, the more we hear the Gita, the more we'll be able to share it, explain it. So, and Krishna says, there's nobody more dear than someone who's explaining, enlightening, bringing people back. I compare it to, do they have this in Slovenia where if somebody's cat has run away or child, they put a poster up, if you see this child or if you see this cat or dog, call this number, you know. And so if you do help them recover their child or their cat or their dog, they're so grateful, right? There's a reward sometime, right? So Krishna, he's advertising, you know. If you help me, you know, bring all my parts and bring people back home, the reward, you can't imagine the reward. I'm so pleased with you. Like that, where is it? Is it here? You know, the Gop Kumar is being hugged by Krishna when he comes back home in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Welcome home. You pleased me. Okay, so there's many, many, many statements. When we teach at Mayapur Institute, we have this category called Prabhupada's Mood and Mission. So there's many statements in Prabhupada's purports about his mood, conveying his mood and mission. So here's one. Let's see. Oh yeah, so this is like lesson 7, right? We have to contribute, we have to make our best contribution to the mission. Takes time, as we said, to know how to do that. But here's a statement. Read.
When one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. When one is becomes serious to follow the mission, his resolution is tantamount. It amounts to, it's the same as, it's equal to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wow. Prabhupada equates getting serious about the mission with seeing God. Now, if you go to Radhakund, not all of them, but many Babaji's will tell you something else. If you want to be really intimate and close to Krishna, you meditate on your Gopi mantra or your Siddhadeha, or they'll tell you that's, and preaching is external, you know. But that's not what Krishna says. There's nobody more dear to me than someone who explains this wisdom to others and inspires them to come home to me. Yeah. So, look how mission-oriented this is. It's the same as seeing God. And Prabhupada himself said, even after I got the order of my spiritual master to go to the West and preach, I was reading a commentary on Bhagavad Gita 241, Vyavasayatmika Budhir Eke Kurunandana by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where the verse Krishna says, those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. So in his commentary to that verse, Vishwanath says, this means one must accept the order to be resolute. You must accept the order of the Guru as one, as your life and soul. So Prabhupada said when he read that, it hit him like a shot, you know. I actually have to do this. There's no meaning to my life unless I actually go to the West and preach. So that was a kind of meeting God, you know, when you really hear it deeply, then it's a kind of meeting. Yeah. Okay, so here's what else Prabhupada said in that purport. Quote, in conclusion, if a disciple is very serious to execute the mission of the spiritual master, he immediately associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether we know it or not, right? It's just a matter of waking up. This is the only secret of success in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, executing the mission of the Guru. Instead of being eager to see the Lord in some bush of Vrindavan, Prabhupada can't resist taking a swipe at the sahajas, right? While at the same time engaging in sense gratification, if one instead sticks to the principle of following the words of the spiritual master, he will see the Supreme Lord without difficulty. And Prabhupada would say, as my Guru Maharaj used to say, don't try to see God. You work in such a way that God will see you. It's a descending process. My first glimpse of something a little strange, you know, perhaps sahaja, in Vrindavan, was when I was in Loy Bazaar shopping. Prabhupada said, you don't find Krishna loitering in Loy Bazaar. Well, I was shopping. I wasn't exactly loitering, but anyway, I was at a shop, you know, and I was kind of half in and out, you know, the shops. I'm leaning on the, I got a knee on the white cloth, and I'm kind of looking in and talking to the shopkeeper. And then down the street comes this little mini parade. And I look, and it's old men, and they're dressed up as gopis. You know, and they're painted. They got, you know, makeup, and they got women's clothes on. You know, it's their transcendental trans. I don't know. I forget if they had beards. Yeah, and there was this one other older man in back of them, and he was beating a drum. Boom, 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 and they were like, you know, dancing and doing all these grotesque kind of gestures and expressions, and, you know, I didn't know what to make of it. I was looking at them, you know. Wow, I can't believe this. So I turned to the shopkeeper and I said, Gopi Bhav? It's So he looked at me and he got a funny look in his face and he said, maybe a little cracked. A little cracked. Like they're little nuts, you know. So that's not the way to see Krishna. You know, imitating the gopis or... But we have to please someone who's very dear to Krishna. Krishna Prastaya. Prabhupada's pranam mantra. Krishna Prastaya. He's very dear to Krishna. Okay. So how to do this? So it's healthy to reflect on how our own Shiksha and Diksha gurus are helping us contribute to Srila Prabhupada's mission, since it's a very mission-oriented sangha. And because they're helping us do that, they are the most important people in our lives. Now one may ask, because if that's true, that the most important people in our lives, but we've been focusing on Prabhupada as the founder Acharya, not so much about Shiksha and Diksha gurus, although they are the most important people in our lives because they engage us, right, in Prabhupada's mission, and they enrich our relationship with Prabhupada, and they bring us closer to him. So, but we've been focusing on Prabhupada. So one might think, is this some closet Ritvik presentation? That's what people think you are, you know, if you don't talk about their guru sometime. Hey, he's a Ritvik. He's just talking about Prabhupada. Well, it used to be like that. It's not so much now. ISKCON is getting over that. But still, one may ask, does developing our foundational relationship with Srila Prabhupada mean we are jumping over our Diksha and Shiksha gurus? What does jumping over mean anyway? Have you heard that phrase, jumping over? That was really prominent in the 80s during the dark night of ISKCON's soul. But it actually came from Prabhupada in the 70s, and here's the context. Let's see. Well, I'll just show you the picture first. He's the best jumper I could find on Google Images. And he's not a monkey. You know who he is? What he is? Lemur. He's a lemur. Yeah, he beat all the monkeys on Google Images. They're native to Madagascar and the Comoro Islands of Africa. So anyway, here's what happened. In the early 70s, devotees started going to India, and they were fascinated by all things, you know, mystic India, right? And they were also fascinated by, in different Gaudiya Mutts, they saw these books in English by Bhakti Srila Bhaktivinoda and Bhakti Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And they asked Prabhupada if they could read these books. So in L.A., Prabhupada would give different answers, but in L.A. in December 73, Prabhupada gave this answer. So here's the audio.
You cannot imagine what my spiritual master said. Or even if you read some books, you cannot understand unless you understand it from me. This is called Prabhupada system. You cannot jump over to the superior guru, neglecting the next ajah, immediate next ajah.
Now, after Prabhupada left, this quote was very heavily abused, misused, because of immaturity, we didn't deeply understand Prabhupada's position, so... You know, sometimes people were thinking, okay, Prabhupada was there and now it's us. As though Prabhupada was just a previous Acharya, right? He's not simply a previous Acharya. He happens to be the foundational guru of ISKCON. He's the founder Acharya of ISKCON. But out of immaturity, people were, you know, claiming that you should just listen to them now. You know, blocking everyone's foundational relationship with Prabhupada. So, what do I say here? Since during his brief time with us, Srila Prabhupada was the only bona fide guru we knew, we didn't deeply understand his unique position as our founder Acharya. After Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, sometimes ISKCON's new gurus too often confused following him with imitating him, And the consequences were devastating. Now, over time, we've come to realize that the role of our Shiksha and Diksha Gurus is to deepen, enhance, and enrich our foundational relationship with Srila Prabhupada. That's why they're so important. So if no jumping over means no neglecting one's immediate next acharya, right? How much more do we need not to neglect the foundational guru, the founder acharya? Yeah. So we can't neglect anybody, especially the founder acharya. Yeah, he's like the sun, and his position is pivotal, and we're all to orbit him. It's like Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj said, I don't want many stars if I could just have one moon. Because the stars just twinkle, and they don't really illumine much. But one moon, you know, can light up the whole, one full moon can light up the whole sky. So have you read that book, Many Moons, by Giriraj Swami? A nice book called Many Moons. Giriraj Maharaj wrote a book honoring many of the great devotees who have passed away from our generation. Many moons. Prabhupada didn't just create one moon, many moons. And they're still shining and coming into maturity and blooming. Full moon. Okay. So no jumping over. And here's the only recording that I repeated. You're going to recognize. This is Miami 75. Prabhupada's talking about guru and disciple. And it's that airplane in the background.
Nobody should accept blindly any guru. And nobody should blindly accept any visa. They must behave. At least for 1 year. This is the instruction from Shanti Goswami.
And what do we say? Behave meant? Do you remember? Oh, that's an echo. Behave means? Yeah, but a little more. Yeah, test, examine. See if it's going to work as a guru-disciple relationship. Even if they're both qualified, is it going to work with these two individuals? They must behave one another. So becoming an initiated devotee, it shouldn't be avoided, nor should it be prematurely rushed into. There should be no rush to judgment, you know, on this. Everybody comes in their own way. I have a story in this connection. And it's my favorite story of someone who took a long time to get initiated. Because sometimes people do take a long time. Sometimes they take decades. And that's okay as long as they're intending, you know, to have to come to that next stage. Because Rupa Goswami does have this 9-step process, right, to go back to Godhead. And one of them is, one stage is initiation. So I have a colleague in this kind of education, and I knew her story, so I asked her to send it to me on email. And so she said, okay, you can use my story, but don't mention my name because I don't want to be pestered by people saying, oh, you're the person in the story and you're the poster child, you know, for how to take initiation after many, many years. She doesn't want to, she wants to be anonymous. But she has a great story. So in 2011, when I started doing the basic research for this seminar, I asked her to send me the story, and she did. And her story is this, that in 1987, this devotee read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is and was completely thrilled. Wow, this is it. This is the absolute truth. The Chinchipeda Beda Tattva. This explains everything. Here's a person who's not trying to impress me. This is what Kadambakan Maharaj was saying. Prabhupada would never try to impress people, he just tell them the truth, right? And that's what struck me too when I read Prabhupada's Gita. Wow, this is the first writer I've ever read who's not trying to impress me. He's just trying to tell me the truth. Wow. This was very impressive. It was impressive that he wasn't trying to impress. He was so transparent to the absolute truth. So anyway, this lady can't sit, never get old. This lady read Prabhupada's Gita in 87, and then she wanted to meet the master. She wanted to become his disciple, but then she was shocked, mortified to find out that the author, the master, had left this world 10 years earlier in 77. Oh no, I missed it. You know. But she's inspired, and she's bright. She's a teacher, so she starts reading Prabhupada's books, besides the Gita, other books too. In 87, and then in 91, 4 years later, she's getting more involved in ISKCON, and she ends up marrying a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, a direct disciple, you know, first generation. And she knows from reading Prabhupada's books that you're supposed to take initiation. Even though she also knows that, you know, Prabhupada's her spiritual master. She doesn't know, you know, foundational guru or, you know, founder acharya so much. But she knows she's connected to Prabhupada. She knows that. But she knows that Prabhupada's saying you have to be, Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami and Nectar Devotion are saying you have to take initiation. That's among the first 10 things, right? The top 64 devotional principles. You have to take shelter of a bona fide guru. You have to take initiation. So she writes someone who she finds inspiring, and she wants to start a relationship to maybe be initiated. But the person says, well, you know, I'm not so much initiating anymore, and you'll probably never see me. And you're already married to a direct disciple of Srila Prabhupada, so why don't you just take shelter of your husband? So she thinks, oh, I really like this person, but I guess I'll just do what he says. So she did that. But, you know, she was still reading the books, and she kept hearing that you got to be initiated, right? Now, while this is going on, ISKCON has gone from the 80s to the 90s. It was getting a little better, but there were still a lot of traumas and dramas to come, right? There were still a lot of betrayals and fall downs, and, you know. So she's witnessing this, you know. She's in ISKCON. She's not initiated, but she's reading Prabhupada's books, and so she's wondering, do I really want to be initiated? Maybe I'm going to be disappointed, you know. I don't want anybody to disappoint me. Prabhupada will never disappoint me, so I'll just keep reading Prabhupada's books. And anyway, the 90s go on, and then they come to approaching the new millennium. Do you remember Y2K? Yeah. That was when the world was supposed to go up in a puff of cyber smoke, right? The world, the civilization as we knew it, was going to disappear because of some numerical glitch with computers. Maybe you're too young to remember it, but yeah. Anyway, Y2K came and went, and the world didn't end. So now that the world is still here, the lady starts thinking, wow, I've got to resolve this. This is driving me crazy. Now it's 2000, it's 13 years since she's been reading Prabhupada's books. But now she's thinking, I can't imagine offering food to anybody else or incense to anybody else's picture. I mean, Prabhupada's my guru, you know. But she knows Ritvikism is wrong too. She's really getting conflicted here. So, 2003, she's at a festival with her husband, and she gets inspired by a certain Swami. I'm keeping it anonymous. I'm following her. She heard me, by the way, she heard me online once. She heard me tell this story. And then she wrote me a letter. Thank you, you're keeping your word. I was at Soho, you know, doing this lesson. And she heard it. And she, yeah, oh, yeah, very good. Anyway, so she's at a festival and she hears a Maharaj speak and she's very inspired, and she says to her husband, "Prabhu, I've got to resolve this. I've got to meet Maharaj, you know, and just reveal my mind and get this solved, because this is driving me crazy." And so her husband approaches the manager of the festival and says, "We really need to meet with Maharaj. Is it possible?" So the manager said, "Well, you know, Maharaj has been traveling all over the world and he's exhausted and he's not feeling well. So I'll give you 10 minutes, you know, to solve all your problems in 10 minutes." So they meet with Maharaj, and anyway, by Krishna's grace, 10 minutes turned into 20 minutes, turned into 30 minutes, turned into 40 minutes, and in the course of 40 minutes, this lady pretty much laid out her life's dilemma, how, you know, she knows that she's supposed to be initiated, but she just can't. She'll die before she'll let anybody block her relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Right? She doesn't want anybody to come in between her and Srila Prabhupada. So the Maharaj is very wise and he's very experienced, and he says to her, well, first of all, he tells her how long it took him to surrender to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. And then she said, "But is my mentality offensive?" And he says, "No, it's not offensive. It's intelligent." And then he told her more about his, you know, how long it took him to surrender to Srila Prabhupada. Because he was also, you know, he had doubts and he was testing and like this. And then he said this. He said, "What if you took initiation from somebody who wouldn't block your relationship with Srila Prabhupada, but who would enrich, enhance, and deepen your relationship with Srila Prabhupada, who would bring you closer to Srila Prabhupada? What if you took initiation from someone like that?" So you know what she said? "Oh, I never heard that before." No wonder she's having a hard time. Right? She doesn't even know what the role of the Diksha and Shiksha Guru really is, because ISKCON is still recovering from the Zonal Acharya era. I mean, this is 12 years ago now, 13 years ago. So she never heard this kind of presentation. So she, you know, she said that. And then, so she starts a relationship with Maharaj, who inspired her. That it's possible to take initiation and keep Prabhupada as your foundational spiritual master. So then a year later, she takes Diksha. She takes initiation. And then that was the end of her story, and then she wrote me this, and then she had a nice little epilogue afterward, you know. And she said, "And I'm happy to say, Sureshwar Prabhu, that in the 7 years," this is 2004, yeah.